From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, first we'll talk about the controversy over comments by Missouri Representative and Senate candidate Todd Akin, who used the phrase legitimate rape when talking about abortion and pregnancy. Republican leaders are pressuring him to get out of the Senate race, but he has refused. Then at 9:30, Sheldon Adelson, the chief executive of the Las Vegas Sands Corporation and one of the world's wealthiest men, has amassed an estimated $25 billion fortune. He is also a major supporter of the PAC supporting Mitt Romney, and we'll talk to journalists Lowell Bergman and Matt Isaacs, who have done an investigation of Adelson. That's all coming up after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. GOP leaders are urging Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin to withdraw from the race against Democratic candidate Claire McCaskill after controversial comments he made on rape. Akin said in a television interview Sunday that a woman's body is capable of preventing pregnancy in cases of, quote, legitimate rape, end quote. Republicans, including GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, have distanced themselves from Akin's remarks, but Democrats are using the opportunity to make abortion an issue in the presidential race, pointing out that vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan has similar views. How will this controversy play out politically? Well, joining us from Washington, D.C. is Mark Santelow, Associate Academic Director now at the University of California's Washington Center and Washington Editor of the California News Service and author of Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power. And welcome, Mark Santelow.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. I guess the money is being pulled out all over the place in terms of support for Akin. At this point, he's maybe lost more money than Rush Limbaugh did in ads after Sandra Fluck. I'm wondering, from your perspective, though, are the Democrats really going to be able to use this at this point in a substantial way in terms of the campaign, particularly since, as I said in my introduction, Ryan has been identified with similar views?
They're certainly doing all they can. I mean, if you want to see the video of what Akin had to say, if you want to read the quotes, all you got to do is go to any Democratic site. You know, go to the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee. They got Akin's interview right on top. You go to Claire McCaskill's site. She's the one running against him for Senate in Missouri. There it is, Akin's comments, the link to the video, along with a little donation tab so you can give money. I mean, I think there is limits to how much people across the country are going to tie this around, say, you know, Mitt Romney's neck. You know, that said, abortion is a very uncomfortable issue, well, for most Americans, but politically, particularly for Republicans, because the people who are most pro-life, the pro-life folks tend to be very diehard Republicans for the most part, and the hardcore pro-choice people tend to be Democrats, but there is a huge middle ground there, and that middle ground tend to be the swing voters on a number of issues. I mean, you have a number of women who are fiscally conservative, even socially conservative in a lot of ways, who resent the fact that government or men are telling them what they can and cannot do with their bodies. Those are a group of people that Obama and Romney are both going after extremely vigorously. So to have this out there and to have a woman who's undecided, she may not, you know, be thinking about this with Mitt Romney, but when she hears that there's a guy from Missouri running for Senate who actually serves on the Science Committee who says that, you know, women's bodies have a way of shutting this kind of thing down, which would be a wonderful thing for all sorts of women around the world and men too, if all throughout history women could just shut things down and not become pregnant. But the idea of sort of the ignorance or the narrow view of the world that that expresses puts us on the front page of newspapers and reminds people over and over again that Republicans and Democrats seem to have different views on abortion, and that's a terrible thing for Republicans. I understand that Paul Ryan has given a phone call to Todd Akin yesterday to talk to him about this. You know, that's a private conversation. Love to hear what was said.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that one as well. But it's at this point, the Republicans are going ahead and drafting a platform in Tampa, and they're going to have a human life amendment. One has to ask how this sort of view, as distorted as it is and as frankly odd as it is, and it did get a good deal of strong language from Governor Romney against the statements that is by Todd Akin, whether it comes from the pro-life movement. And the pro-life movement has to be given a kind of deference by the Republican Party.
Yeah, except that you can be diehard pro-life and still think that what Aiken said is idiotic. It's one thing to be a diehard anti-abortion person and say abortion is murder under all circumstances. It doesn't make any difference whether or not, you know, this was sloppy consensual sex, whether or not this was dumb planning, whether or not this was bad luck, or whether or not this was rape. The fact is, it's a human life, and you're not allowed to take it. Okay, that's a view.
Or, excuse me, Mark, rape or incest, which to some extent is what Paul Ryan is standing behind, the idea that that, in fact, should not be entitled a woman to an abortion.
That's right. But that's different from saying that women have the capacity to, quote, shut this kind of thing down, or to use, well, you know, what seems like the greatest oxymoron of the year, legitimate rape. I mean, I think in the context, what he meant by legitimate rape was if it really is a rape. Although there's a question here, because actually it was Todd Aiken in Congress in the House, along with Paul Ryan, who sponsored a bill last year which would have distinguished between different kinds of rape, saying that federal money, which is now prohibited from abortion services, but abortion services can be used in the cases of rape. Federal money can. They introduced a bill saying that only in the cases of forcible rape, meaning that rape that's, say, statutory rape, maybe some kinds of date rape, they want to distinguish that that could not be, abortion services could not be paid for with the federal government. So there is a funny distinction here. But again, the big point is you can be diehard pro-life, and you can still think that what Aiken said is idiotic. It does point to sort of the narrow view that they still have in some quarters in Washington. I looked up the roster of the Science Committee where Aiken serves. So there are 17 Democrats. 7 of them are women. Lynn Woolsey and Zoe Lofgren of the Bay Area are both on that committee. But out of 23 Republicans on the Science Committee, you've got 21 men. And I'm not saying that all men are stupid, please. Not all of them are. But they certainly, there are some men who have a limited view of, you know, of many issues. And it's one of the reasons that California, you know, led with Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer after you know, Clarence Thomas was confirmed by a Senate Judiciary Committee, which was 100% male. You know, you don't have to believe that women are wiser, but certainly having women and men serving together tends to give a broader view. And my guess is if the Science Committee was not 21 men and 2 women on the Republican side, but vice versa, you wouldn't have a single member of that committee talking about how women are able to shut that sort of thing down.
We're talking with Mark Sandlo. He's with us from Washington, D.C. He's Associate Academic Director of the University of California's Washington Center. I'm going to open the phone lines right now and invite those of you listening to join us if you want to weigh in on this. What did you think about the remarks by Senate candidate Aiken? And actually, he's already said that he misspoke himself. It's just one television interview. He said he meant to say forcible rape and acknowledged that women do become pregnant during such instances. He's asked for forgiveness. What's your response to really the firestorm that this has created, and also the real question of whether or not this will play its way and to what extent it ought to play its way into the campaign? We invite your calls, and you can join us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have something you'd like to contribute in the way of conversation that we're having here, by all means, call us now. Again, toll-free number available, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, is 866-733-6786. And you can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment, or by going to our Facebook page. And how do you think this is going to play out, Mark, particularly since Aiken has, until 6 p.m., I guess, today to withdraw from the race, and he's being urged to do so by most of the Republican establishment?
Yes, it's interesting the way it's very, very rare that the establishment turns on one of their own. But the word both from the head of the Democrat, the Republican Senate Committee, Senator Cornyn from Texas, and from Mitt Romney was almost identical. Both of them said he ought to take 24 hours, think about what's good for his family and for his state and for the party, which is certainly political, not that coded word for saying, please get out of there. The Missouri race is very important, remains very important. There are, right now, Democrats have essentially 53 members in the Senate and Republicans have 47. If Republicans pick up 3 seats and the White House, or 4 seats without the White House, they will have majority control of the Senate. And the odds are good for Republicans because of all the toss-up races, there are more Democrats at risk than Republicans. Missouri was one of the Democratic-held states, Claire McCaskill's the incumbent, which was most in danger for Democrats. And there were three Republicans vying to replace Claire McCaskill. All of them were trying to be more conservative than the next. And Todd Akin won this race just a couple of weeks ago in a summertime primary. And it could have a real impact because immediately this shifts from the leaning Republican category to the leaning Democratic category. And when you've got a Senate that is so closely divided, it can make the difference as to whether or not, you know, Barbara Boxer is chair of the Senate Environment Committee or whether she is merely the ranking member.
I'm wondering, though, you know, New York Times cover story today said GOP women are outraged, and I'm reading about a woman who's head of the Tea Party, the main spokesperson, for the Tea Party, talking about how dreadful this is and how and really criticizing Akin, as all the Republican establishment has been doing. But at the same time, there are some polls that suggest that it hasn't necessarily hurt him as much as you would expect, just in terms of numbers of Missouri voters.
You got to be careful with polls. There was a very shocking poll that just came out this morning, which said that it was, you know, I saw the headline says Akin's still ahead. It was like, I think, a 47 to 46 lead, which is so close that you can't even really call that anything but a statistical tie. You know, that said, that seems rather shocking. Good polls take several days to conduct, and this news is just breaking. So who knows? Now, it could be that there are some Missourians who say, you know, this national firestorm is ridiculous. Yes, the guy's an idiot when it comes to abortion, but he's not going to change the world's abortion views or change the nation's laws. I'm electing him because he's going to stand against President Obama and vote against the health care bill and that sort of thing. It's conceivable Missourians are, you know, very pragmatic in that way. But my guess is if he stays in the race, you will see a gradual, if not a sudden, deterioration of his poll numbers, and Claire McCaskill is a pretty heavy favorite.
And by the way, we should mention that Claire McCaskill has said, you know, he apologized and the voters ought to give him a chance here. I think he's sincere, essentially, is what she said.
She loves him. You know, it's she actually put ads up in the primary campaign saying Todd Akin is the most conservative candidate out there. He wants to kill the Department of Education and the Department of Energy. He wants to overturn Obamacare. Now, in the Bay Area, you run that ad because, oh, my God, I'm not going to vote for that guy. She ran this ad prior to the Republican primary, knowing that Democrats may be horrified, but that Republicans would see that and say, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. So she actually spent millions of dollars, in a sense, pushing Akin along, and he was the guy who she wanted to face precisely for this reason, because she thought he would go off the deep end, and I think she'll be very disappointed if he decides to drop out.
Let me bring our callers on. Larry, you're up with us on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Full disclosure, I was a Republican when I started college, and I'm now pretty progressive. Seems to me that what Congressman Akin did is typical of what a lot of people on the far right do, which is to state things as fact, which are patently ridiculous. I give you the trickle-down theory, and there's really no, there's no, I lost the word that I was thinking of, no way of them, of punishing them, of showing them that they're wrong, of trying to turn that around and print the truth somewhere.
Response, Mark Sandler.
I mean, Larry has a point. I think both sides are very quick to state things as fact, which are, you know, clearly very questionable. I mean, in this sense, it's ridiculous that, that Akin said, I've talked to doctors who've told me this. It's like, what kind of doctors are those? Because if you gave their names, they would lose their clientele very quickly. But Larry's right that you see this in all sorts of debate. The most noticeable one right now is in climate change, where you've got, you know, 99.9% of scientists saying it is a fact the world's atmosphere is getting warmer, and you got probably 99.1% of them saying it's caused by mankind. Not that it really matters what's causing it, but it's happening. But because you have that little, you know, you have a couple of scientists out there who are in the overwhelming minority, you've got people stating as fact, well, this is questionable as to whether this is true or not. Global warming is still a theory, which I suppose is true in the same way that, you know, that the Earth is round is a theory. But then the media falls into this because, and I've, you know, done this many years, I've been a journalist many years, you're on deadline, I'm no scientist. I've got, what am I going to do? I'm going to say flat out, this is the fact. Instead, what you tend to do is you get one person from one side, you get another person from the other side, and it gives them this moral equivalency. In this case, on the abortion, we've seen almost none of that. Almost no one has said, well, you know what, he has a point. Women can't stop themselves by shutting things down and not getting pregnant. There was actually a reporter from the Washington News Organization here, Politico Online, who did tweet out a defense saying, well, I'd like to see the medical facts on this. He was taken off the story because the journalistic community was very quick to say there is, zero evidence of anything he's saying being anything but, rubbish. And, I think, I've seen reports of something like 25,000 pregnancies last year as a result of rape. So clearly what he said was wrong. And finally, what Larry says, there's no way to punish these guys. To a certain extent, that's true. But you can, first of all, there are these fact-check organizations that make things out yes or no. And ultimately, it's about votes. If people say stupid things, they don't win office. They learn not to say stupid things.
Well, here's a listener, Juan, who writes on our Facebook page, who cares? A gaffe is a gaffe, and drones are still being rolled out in the United States, and former Marines are being held with no charges for Facebook comments. He was differentiating between date and violent rape and used horrible wording and has since apologized for poor wording. That doesn't seem to be flying, though, does it, Mark?
Well, the problem is I don't see how you can say that this was bad wording. Bad wording is all over the place. Joe Biden talked about how they're going to put y'all back in chains last week, which was an idiotic way of talking what the banking industry would do to the African-American community. There are verbal gaffes all the time, and people who talk on live radio know the stupidity that comes out of people's mouths often. It just happens. I say things that I cringe when I hear them back. But when you make a comment like that, it's not a matter of, oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant that women can't shut. I mean, he's expressing a view which clearly is something that he believes. I mean, maybe the gaffe was the word, quote, legitimate rape. And for God's sake, what a terrible phrase to use. But you can
It almost sounds
say,
like it's legitimizing rape in some way, or it's saying that there's a rape that is legitimate.
But I think what he meant was, if it's really a case of rape, I don't know what he meant, but that you might be able to say was just stupid wording. But you can't express the view that women have the power to not get pregnant after being raped because of something that goes on in their bodies that they have control over without even a fundamental misunderstanding of the way the body works, but also just sort of a very narrow and limited view of the issues, the emotions, the biology that go into pregnancy and abortion. And for him to be expressing those views like he did suggests to me it was a lot more than a gaffe.
Well, it's also taking, as I said, I think this has been an idea that has circulated in the pro-life movement for a while. It's taking the notion that somehow because of mind-body connectedness, that if a woman doesn't want to allow spermatozoa to turn into a zygote, that somehow her mind will have an effect on that, and it's mythology. I'm not talking as a scientist here.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is take a look at the birth control business. If that were true, there'd be no need for it. I mean, it's sort of silly on its face. It's one thing to say that during rape, but do you think that if women could choose not to get pregnant, that we would spend billions of dollars and the inconvenience of dealing with birth control, which people do for dozens and dozens of years? I mean, it's sort of foolish on its face.
And we go to Oakland and welcome Rachel as our next caller. Rachel, join us. Hi.
Hi. There's no difference. All rape is forcible rape. There is no difference. There's no difference between date rape and incest and a woman being unconscious or a woman having a gun held to her and saying, let me go in the bathroom and get my diaphragm so that this can be peaceful and I won't get killed. There is no difference. It's all rape. And we've got to stop making these distinctions between one kind of rape and another kind of rape. It's all rape. By definition, it's forcible sex is what it is. And the other thing is every woman who's ever been raped wishes that she could have had some kind of protective prevention of the rape itself, that she could have turned her body into steel and spikes could have come out from it like an old-time mace in the Middle Ages, and then bullets could have ejected from it into the rapist, and then the whole thing could have gone off like a landmine and exploded, and then her own body would have emerged. Okay, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you for that contribution. Do you think, Mark, Well, the platform draft, I want to go back to that because it's been pretty closely guarded by officials in the party, in the Republican Party. But apparently CNN has a source in Tampa that says they're going to endorse a human life amendment to the Constitution that would outlaw abortion, and they wouldn't have any exemptions, including rape and incest.
Yeah, well, they're going to have a little bit of a fight about that, I think. But you know, this is sort of like whether or not Democrats adopt gay marriage in their platform, which they're going to. It's like in the sense that for some people, this is a very, very emotionally charged issue. But really, it makes no difference what's in the platform. What makes a difference is what the candidate says. And Paul Ryan is much further anti-choice than anti-abortion than Mitt Romney is. But Mitt Romney's position is...
Excuse me, when Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts, he was pro-choice.
Said that abortion should be safe and legal, but he says he came around on that. He changed views. Now, people are cynical because, of course, he changed views from when he went from being a governor of Massachusetts, where you had to be pro-choice to get elected, to nominee of the Republican Party, where you had to be pro-life to get elected. So it's convenient. But that said, give the man, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt for a moment, say he had a change of view. His view is that abortion should be illegal and unconstitutional, except in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother, which leads to sort of an interesting question for me, which I never really understood. I do understand the viewpoint of, you know, pro-life. If you believe that conception begins, that life begins at conception, you know, then you argue that taking that is equivalent to murder. It's hard to understand, to parse that, say, however, if the woman becomes pregnant via rape, then it's okay to take the life of that. I never really understood. Now, the life of the mother is something different. You can say it's almost self-defense, but it's and this all boils down to this. This is an extremely personal, emotional, and spiritual issue for lots and lots of people. And it's an issue that, interestingly, that the civil libertarians and the people who believe in, you know, in government out of people's bedrooms, which tend to be the Republicans, you know, have the other view of this. I mean, because typically you would think of the libertarians, the Republicans, saying government should have no role demanding that people do something with their own body. And actually recalls, I'm trying to remember if it was in Missouri now, there was actually a woman who introduced, she was a state lawmaker, and she did this tongue-in-cheek. She introduced a bill that would say it would be a felony for a man to deposit his sperm, anywhere but a woman's vagina. Illegal. And, of course, this led to an outcry, and there was actually a Republican pro-life person said, it's an outrage that she thinks the government should have that kind of control over my body. Well, that's exactly the point. And there are people who this is, you know, very important to. Let me just quickly go back to the one. There are people dying in Afghanistan. The economy is, you know, so there are many, many other issues out there that people might vote on. But going back to where you started, Michael, the problem is we're talking about this, which is very bad for the Republicans right now.
Now, let me give a couple of email responses here before we wrap things up. Phyllis writes, yes, Aiken's remarks were repugnant. He has apologized. Biden's remarks were repugnant. He has not apologized. If Aiken should withdraw, then Biden should withdraw. The double standard of the media on this issue is disgusting. And another listener, Stav, writes, I thought the president pulled far too many punches in yesterday's press conference. Apart from the abortion debate, this latest incident shows just how anti-science many GOPers are. So there are two kind of almost diametrically opposed responses. And, Mark, always good to have you with us. I appreciate very much your being with us.
Good talking with you, Michael.
Mark Sandlow, Associate Academic Director, University of California's Washington Center, Washington Editor of the California News Service, and author of Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power. We're going to another segment. We're going to find out who is Sheldon Adelson in the segment coming up, and Lowell Bergman, Matt Isaacs, both from UC Berkeley, who are leading an investigative reporting along with ProPublica and Frontline into Adelson and the Sands Corporation, which he heads, will join us in studio.